How are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. God is so good. I am blessed every day. Jesus came today.
He comes every day, doesn't he?
He comes every day. He came in his fullness. He came in his love, his joy, his peace. And he came in the presence of revelation from faith to faith. That's what the word says. And I'm so thankful that the Lord said, I'm with you always. I'll never leave you or forsake you. He manifests himself in so many ways, and we are believing for manifestations of God according to his word in ways we haven't even fathomed yet. But Jesus came in the fullness of his love, his salvation, and the Lord is with me, and the Lord is with you, and the Lord is with everyone that is watching today. You just need to believe and know God is with me. Yeah. He'll never leave you or forsake you.
Oh my goodness. Well, you know what? That opening makes me go a complete 180 degree turn from where I was going to go, because that is a great way to go where I wanted to cover on a different podcast, but let's go there now.
Well, no one told me where we were headed.
That's funny, because so we have a lot of friends here in the studio today, and we were talking beforehand how we come up with the different topics, and we usually just kind of
like
figure
this.
It out as we go, and now we're going another direction. And actually, there was something I wanted to talk about, and that I was going to get to again later, and so we'll get to what we were going to talk about now, later,
okay,
and talk about later now.
Oh,
because
I
love what you said about Jesus. Jesus appeared today. Jesus came. Jesus manifested himself. You know, and I've been working on a project, one of many projects that we've been talking about, kind of with our good friend Matthew Crouch, and kind of about reframing the idea of what we think about the end times and the second coming and eschatology and all this crazy stuff that everybody gets all hung up on.
Yeah.
And you've actually coined a term, which I think is just, which is just so great, that it's not about focusing on whether you're pre this, post this, millennial this yeah. Anything. You came up with a term that is,
I am an Emmanuelist.
Yes. Meaning, and what is an Emmanuelist?
It means God is with me. God is with me. So in whatever form he appears to me today, you know, if tomorrow it's in a cloud, if today it's in the sea, if it's in revelation of who he is, if it's in someone getting healed, someone getting saved, whatever it is, I just believe God is with me at all times. And I believe that's the most important perspective for us to take. He said, lo, I'm with you always. So I just believe, God, you're with me always. If it's beside the still waters, green pastures, though I make my bed in hell, there you where can I go, the word says, from the presence of the Lord. If I take the wings of the morning and fly to the four corners of the earth, you're with me. You know, where could I go from the presence of the Lord, and where could I flee from his spirit? There's so many ideas swirling around, you know, the pre, post, and I think we've talked about this. And here's the problem I find, is brothers and sisters get into conflict, get into debates over you're right, I'm right, you're wrong. You know, the worst thing we can do is begin to get angry and find contention out of talking about the presence and the appearing of the Lord. You know, in all the great and glorious ways God's going to manifest himself, we shouldn't be debating how, when, and where, just that he is.
Yeah.
And however God reveals himself today I woke up with just such a sense of thankfulness and praise. I start off my day every day by reading the word. I don't like to read anything, no emails, not anything. I the first thing I want in my heart, my head, my mind, first thing I want my eyes to see is the word of the Lord. I want to start that way. And then I want to seek God and see what he has to say and would reveal. And he comes to me in the form of his word. He came to me today in the form of life. I woke up and I said, this is the greatest season of my life. This is the day God has made. And the day didn't even start yet. So how do I know it's going to be the greatest day of my life? Because God's great. I'm going to experience God in some way, some form, some fashion, because he said, I'm with you, I'll never leave or forsake you. So it's more important to me, and I believe to God, that we are Emmanuelists, that we just know God is ever present with me. And whatever he does and however he does it, that's in his great and mighty hand. Yeah. Am I going to instruct the Lord on how to do it? Should I be telling everyone how he's going to make his presentation to them, how he's going to reveal himself to them? Only God knows that. And I just want to be aware of his presence, I will meditate on your law day and night. I know you're with me at all times, and I know you're leading me in all things, no matter what. That is a sense of peace, confidence, and comfort, and it keeps my perspective on cue, so I'm not thinking something I shouldn't be or anticipating, and one of the most important things, I'm not getting into conflict in an argument with someone that really isn't going to change anything or make any difference.
Well, and I think that, and I think that there's a lot of, let's call it, for lack of a better term, a lot of negative aspects beyond just the divisiveness that comes with it. Because I think about the idea, you know, again, without in any way, shape, or form denying the return of Jesus.
Oh, of course not.
You know, the idea though that what we're going through a lot of times, again, regardless of it, regardless of how different people think about how the timeline plays out, a lot of people, particularly American Christianity, I think, we look at it as like, we need Jesus' return, less even because we so much want to be with Jesus, but to deliver us from a situation.
Need a way out.
To give us a way out, because this is so bad that we look at our culture, it's so divisive, it's so bad. We need Jesus to get us out of this place.
Yeah.
You know, again, regardless of how it plays out, without going, well, wait a minute, I put you in this place, and isn't the Spirit, when Jesus ascended, he says, I'm going to give you the Comforter. It's better that I go away and give you this gift. And it's like, so he's given us this gift. And we said, no, we don't want this gift. You come back again.
Yeah.
And versus, and again, we should long. They longed. And again, they longed in the Bible, talked about, Lord, come quickly. But the perspective that we have that I need to be, it becomes endemic of, I got to get out of this situation.
Exactly.
This situation is bad. And if the situation is bad, the situation must not be God. So it all comes kind of full circle into this mentality that God's not in charge, that all things don't work together for good, that the devils and the darkness and the evil is at play at this hand, and we're never going to overcome it, and we need to be popped out of here at some point, or we need Jesus to show up to fix it, to change it, to fix our government and all this kind of stuff. When look, they thought Jesus was showing up to fix the governments the first time, and they missed him, because that's not what he was about. And so then that affects how we treat each other in the everyday, regardless of our own divisiveness. But we look at the world, I think, differently today as a result of kind of our thinking that Jesus needs to come back to fix it versus we have a purpose here.
Yeah, we're waiting for that rescue mission, you know, and I've been rescued.
Yeah.
I've been saved, been redeemed. Any believer who believes in Christ, I don't think God deems it necessary to send out a rescue team. You know, we don't need a rescue. We've been rescued. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That only has to happen once in your life, and it's eternal and forever. And when heaven and earth meet, the kingdom of God, as the word says, till heaven and earth unite, what we're supposed to do is, the word says, walk in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come into the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God. Let's focus on who Christ in us is. Let's do what Jesus said. Let's believe in that direction. What did he say? He said, I'm going, but I'm coming right back. And he says, I'm going to be present with you. And he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit for this purpose, so you can bear witness to who I am.
Yeah.
I'm an Emmanuelist. I want to bear witness to who God is, because Christ is with me. The Holy Spirit of God dwells and abides within you. You're a believer. You've asked Christ to save you, to fill you with his Spirit, with his word. He'll do it because he said he would, and he does, and that's my faith. I am an Emmanuelist. God is with us. And so whatever God wants to do, the earth isn't the devil's. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. God has it in his hands, and he wants us to trust him. The work, the evidence of his power is going to come through our faith in that God is with me. Steve, I am an Emmanuelist. God is with us. It's what he said. It's who he is. The angels herald, you know, glory to God, you know, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Why? Because a son is born, you know, Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer. Believe, receive him. Jesus even said, he said, Father, I'm not asking you to take them out. I'm asking you to keep them.
Yes.
Okay? Keep them through your word. So that's who we are. We are Emmanuelist. God is with us. His Spirit is with us. We're being kept by His Word to bear witness to Him. So the glory of God is manifest with us in such a way that heaven and earth can unite, just like Jesus said.
It makes me think of what you talk about. You've got a great phrase when you talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into the furnace, right?
Yeah.
And you talked about them saying, can you come out?
Yeah.
And how do you put it?
Yeah, well, this is the visual that I get, and this is the narrative of the Gary Zamora version of the story. And I'm saying the Gary Zamora version of the story. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego won't bow down to the idol that the king has made, which is really an idol of his own image, his own mind, you know, how he wants people to be reverent and bow down to him. So he's making himself God, and the idol represents that. And he says, anyone that doesn't bow down and doesn't worship this is going to be thrown into the fire. Well, they're saying, you can do what you want, O king, but we will not bow down, and we'll not be slow to answer you about it. This matter is closed. We will serve God, and only God will we worship. I love that so much. Mm. We'll serve and worship God and only God. And they wouldn't bow down. And so the king, the word says, got so angry that he heated the furnace 7 times hotter than it wanted to be heated, meaning the furnace was on the verge of melting itself, or as hot, as orange hot as you can possibly get, white hot. And so the king wanted to throw them in because he was incredibly angry. So he did so. And they said, you can do what you want, king. And that's what we should be saying. Do what you want. But we serve God and we acknowledge Him and Him alone, not you, your power, your kingdom, your idol. We bow down to no one but God. And they said, our God will deliver us. Okay? Our God will deliver us. But nonetheless, no matter what, we'll not bow down and serve anyone but Him, God and God alone. So they get thrown in the fire. And the word says that the king looks in and he threw 3 men in there, and now he sees a 4th man in the fire. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how did he get in there? And we know this is God. God's walking with him in the fire. And the word says the only thing that fell off of them were the chains, the ropes that bound them. They were bound in their clothes and thrown in the fire. And the only thing that burned off in the fire was what bound them. Same thing today. If our confidence is in, we worship God, I am an Emmanuelist, God, and God only will I serve. The only thing, no matter what the world or man tries to do with you, that will be burnt off in their furnace of fury and anger and hatred and strife and warfare and bitterness are the ropes that bind you. And they were freed, and they walked around. And the word says there wasn't even a smell of smoke on them. But this is what the king says. He says, we see that they're walking around in there. We have to get them out. Have to get them out. Tell them to come out. And I see the king saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out. Can you come out? And I hear them saying, yes, king, we can come out. But the real question is, can you come in?
Yeah.
And the answer is no, they couldn't, because his strongest men died at the mouth of the fire because of the intensity. They were living in the fury of the king, in the representative idolatry, instead of in the glory and the worship of God. So no matter what, in the furnace, we can come out, but can the world come in? And the answer is no. So let's be a witness to the glory of God so they can come in.
Yeah.
Because the fire was literally the presence of the living God that protects and keeps his people.
I know that there's a lot of people in this country that look at where we live in California and would say, boy, you guys live in the flames. You guys, California's hell. Look at everything out there and everything like that. And a lot of people have left. And and people can have very valid and very good reasons for that. God calls everyone, and everyone's journey is their own. And so I'm not casting judgment on that. But there's like this attitude that's not that different of Jesus, come snatch us out of this tough world.
Yeah.
You know, these places, you know, I've heard people say to me, oh, you live over there, you live in that place, that's got to be really difficult or really evil or really terrible.
Yeah.
And I actually don't see it that way. But even if I did, I would say, but isn't that exactly where we're called to be? You know,
God sent him into Babylon, you know?
Yeah, into Babylon. And I feel like in a lot of ways, we look as the church, we look at the world and we see all these problems in the world, and we see that's like a symptom of, you know, how bad the world is. Yeah. But I think in a lot of ways, a symptom of how ineffectual the church is, you know, because we've obfuscated, or we've let go of our responsibility, because we've taken on this mindset almost that instead of Jesus looking at a world filled with sin and going, okay, I'm going to send my son down there to love them and sacrifice for them. you know? And so we get sent in. We seem to think that, like, we get put into a place and now the world's coming against us. Mm-hmm. But it's like, no one's coming against us. We're the ones that were put there to kind of come against them, but not in that same way. Out of this, you know, the Bible calls us ministers of reconciliation to this world, to come bring life to someone who's hurting and dying. And then as we sit here and make up camp, and the world is the same world that Jesus came for, it's not any different, then, but we feel, oh, they're coming against us. And it's, and so then we got to get out of there. Versus no, they're being exactly who the people are that we were sent to bring healing to.
And kind of go somewhere where you're not needed.
Yeah.
Let's find sanctuary. You know, when God sent Moses into Egypt, Moses felt inadequate, even in speech. And he said, how will they believe me? But the plan of God was not to go in and just eradicate the evil.
No.
Sometimes evil serves its purpose in this sense. Evil is evil, not calling evil good. But it's like the tree in the garden. It makes you aware of being obedient implicitly to the word of God and fully trusting what God says is God. But evil, so oftentimes what we see as evil is a representation of where we should stand and be the difference.
Yeah.
You know, how we're going to change the world if, you know, God puts us, gives us more of an outreach in the world. We're going to change. Well, let's start with where we are. You know, if we can't come the evil that's around us by our own faith in the sense that we say, God, regardless of what the furnace looks like,
yeah,
you know, I'm standing in your presence. The safest place for the Hebrew boys was in that fire. You know why? They could come out. No one could come in. If we would stand that ground instead of trying to fight against, just illuminate the right,
yeah,
just live in the confidence of our own faith in who Christ in us is, instead of calling out the evil, calling out the wrong, demonstrate the good.
Yeah.
He said, I'm filling you with my spirit so you can bear witness to who I am, not who you and what you hate, but to who I am. When Jesus came into the world, what he did was just glorify God.
Yeah.
He just illuminated the word of God. He came and he loved, for God so loved the world. That was his answer. You know, as long as you're, if your victory is confrontation, then the only time and the only way you'll ever get victory is through another confrontation.
Same with escape.
If your way out is your redemption, it'll never be the dominating presence, the rulership, the kingdom of God, the glory of the Lord, just overwhelming. You know, when this presence of the Lord had come down into the tent of meetings, the Lord says his glory was so magnificent that they couldn't even go in. The glory of God, if the glory of God will be so magnificent in his people, we're the only clay he has because he decided to do it that way, God's call, then would the evil be forbidden to come in? Could we make a difference, not by fighting against it, but by illuminating, making the word of God great in our lives, in our hearts, by being an example of a better way?
Mm-hmm.
Not an escape way, but a better way, and let God determine which way is out of Egypt. God sent Moses in and he said, I'm with you. He said, I'll be your mouth. I'll be the voice in you. And of course, you know, Moses was a little hesitant, and so Aaron went in, and it didn't necessarily please God that he did it. It displeased the Lord, but God did it. And then Moses has to still wrestle with Aaron. So see, the way we choose still becomes our nemesis. If it's God's way, God be glorified, God be praised. God didn't devastate the evil there. Through Moses' faith, he demonstrated his glory, which overcame the evil attitude until they had to let them go. When God's glory is manifest through his people, the evil has to let you go.
Totally.
We'll let you go. We'll let you worship your God. And that's what we need to be. I'm thankful for California because God sent me here. Listen, I live here. I'm aware of what it is in many regards. But what I'm more aware of is something that God spoke to me a long time ago. And it was actually a prophetic word. He said, I've walked on your seas and I've tread on your soil. This belongs to me. California, like the nations of the earth, this belongs to God. Where are the believers? Where are the believers that walk in such faith with God that the walls fall down?
Yes.
Because we go around worshiping our God, declaring his glory, his goodness, his praise. What about Caleb and Joshua? Yes, send in 12 spies. Tell us, you know, what's what? 10 of them come back and say, it's bad, it's big, it's evil,
not a
giants,
place for us.
Not a place for us. We're like grasshoppers here. We can't make a difference. God wasn't pleased with that. But Caleb said, listen, I don't see it that way. You know why? Because I believe the word of the prophet is what he said. I believe the word of the Lord. He said, we're more than able, and we're more than able right now. And God was pleased. So what all they had to do, they didn't have to fight. They walked around the walls. They didn't have to go in there with sledgehammers and tear it down. They walked around the walls. God brought it down, and then they went in, and then they claimed their victory. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change it. But we'll walk in the glory and the praise, and let the praise of God resonate in our hearts. And if God be for me, who can be against me? You know, then God will be glorified. He doesn't need our help. Mm. He wants our faith in who He is. And that's the clay God works with. We are clay in the potter's hands. Let Him make the vessel that pleases Him. And stand your ground where God has called you. Be a difference.
Yeah,
or,
be a difference.
Let someone else come in your place. God will fill that place with the stead, with the people. He'll take that residence that you vacated, and He'll occupy it just like He said. There'll be people coming to the kingdom that'll say, we're this and we're that. And He's going to say, yeah, but I really don't know you. You need to stand your ground of faith. He said, I'll fill your seat with those who are believing that I am God, not only with them, but I'm God in them and through them, and glorify the Lord. God's going to do a great work in the state of California because it belongs to Him.
Yes.
And I stand believing that I am an Emmanuelist. God is with us. And if God be for you, who dare try to be against you?
Absolutely.
But you have to believe that He is.
Yeah, you have to. And you have to believe His heart for people, I think, is beyond the sense, like, no one would question that we're supposed to evangelize the whole world and make everyone believers, but yet no one wants to invest in the relationships to create that kind of change. I think of, both when you talk about Pharaoh, I mean, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the midst of all those signs and all different wonders, that was really God's grace to Pharaoh and to the people. And even though God ends up hardening Pharaoh's heart, it's like, I'm giving you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I think of Jonah being sent to Nineveh. It doesn't want to go to Nineveh because they're terrible Nineveh. Go to Hollywood. Look how terrible they are. No, I'm not going to go there. Yeah. And then he goes there. God saves them all. And Jonah's upset.
Yep.
You know?
He gets mad. So you know what? It's hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man, same way. They're never satisfied. You know, if God's giving His victory, then, you know, we have to go look for more territory. And if we're in a place, a territory where it needs victory, we want to run and go someplace else.
Yeah.
You know, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Stand your ground. Stand strong in the faith. Where God has positioned you, remain there. If you move, move because God says. If you go somewhere else, go because God says, not because government says, not because, you know, the letter of the law says.
Or
not
you're afraid of something.
Not because you need an escape. Go. Don't, if you're going to run for sanctuary, run into the presence of the Lord. Let that be your sanctuary. The Sethra of God, you know, he's your covering. He's your shield. He's your buckler. He's with you. You know, I can do all things through Christ. We say that. You know, we think, man, I'd like to see the great victories of David in my life and the furnace of, you know, the fiery furnace. Well, then you may have to be around a furnace or a giant
in order to do it. You're right.
And when Caleb went down, God gave them great victory because he said it according to the word of the Lord. God's with us. Come on, guys. The greater the battle, the greater the victory in the sense that we don't even have to fight. The Lord will fight for us. Just stand in faith. That's your battle. You know, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Faith in who He is and who He is through us. So I'm thankful for the state of California. I'm not the legislature and all the laws and the ungodly thing. I get that. See, I get
that's
it.
And that's everywhere, and it's always been. That's the thing that always gets me the more I think about it.
From one place to another is like going through the wilderness. It never changed because they left one spot to another. Yeah. There was still a victory they had to believe in for God, and if they walked in accordance with the word of the Lord, God covered every need they had. But when they complained because they didn't want to have this and they didn't want that and they didn't believe this, then they ended up saying, we don't want to hear from God either. You hear from Him and tell us. You know what? You have to have a heart to want to hear God for yourself. Whatever God tells you to do, do.
Yes.
And do with all your might. But don't do it because you're running from something to try and find a better place. The better place God led them into was the wilderness.
Yeah.
So they could get the heart and get the attitude so they could walk in faith and confidence. And what did they do? They walked around and praised the Lord, and God brought it down. I don't want to win a battle. I want to win. No. I want to win the Medal of Honor of being a worshiper in the presence of the Lord. I want to know how to see through the thick darkness of the world and see the good and the greatness of God. I want to be impervious to the darkness.
Yeah.
And I want be the light, show something, illuminate something that everyone else may not know is there, that you may not know is there, by the light of Christ that dwells in you. Why do we need to be rescued? We've been rescued. We've been saved. We've been born of the Spirit. Let God do what God wills to do. And when Christ brings the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of earth, God be glorified. Yeah. But when he does, how great would it be to do what the angel said to the disciples when they're staring up at Jesus ascending on a cloud? He said, "Why are you standing here gazing up? Go do what God's called you to do. When it's time, you'll know it, and you'll be doing what you've been called to do. Serve and worship the Lord."
Yeah. Well, and what if I just had this thought based on something you were talking about a couple weeks ago, and we talk about doing things that say to hasten the return of the Lord. And on one hand, that makes perfect sense with the idea of the more we bring about his kingdom, that brings sooner the uniting. But what if at the same point, what comes to mind is the story of Jesus the centurion, and you talk about him editing what Jesus was going to do.
Yeah.
Because here's Jesus was going to, like, centurion says, "Hey, heal my servant." He says, "Fine, I'll go to your house." And he's like, "You don't need to go to my house."
Yeah.
So you don't need to show up for you what you want to do through me. In fact, it's a better reflection of glory. And then Jesus said to him, "You know what? How I haven't seen faith like that at all."
And
what happens if we don't need him back?
Here's the big story. Here's the big reveal there. What is Jesus actually saying? I like the kind of faith that commands the kingdom of God that's on the inside of you. Instead of needing me to go and follow your footsteps, to go to your house to do what needs to be done. Let's do it right here, from here, right here, right now. If the kingdom of God is within us, why don't we just believe that God's going to manifest his kingdom?
Yeah.
And manifest his glory through us, and let God do what God wills to do. Listen, God could do anything right here, right now. He's God. He doesn't need our help. He wants our involvement, because that's relationship.
Yeah.
He wants us to believe. So the centurion says, when Jesus says, "I'll go," the centurion, imagine saying, Jesus saying, "I'll come to your house and heal your son or your daughter," and you say, "No, I'm not worthy. It's not about me. It's not about ego. It's not about you coming in my house. Not about me being able to brag, 'Hey, you came to my house.
I got Jesus here.'" Yeah.
Speak the word only. And Jesus said, this is it. "I haven't seen that kind of faith in all the land of Israel." Jesus, it pleased the Lord to see the kind of faith that commanded the presence of the Lord to make himself manifest. Because it's what God wants to do. We're not telling God what to do. We're believing him to do what he wanted to do all along. And what the man was doing was saying, Jesus was saying, it's not about how prepared you are, not about how clean swept your floors are. It's not about how righteous you are. It's about your faith in who I am. Bottom line again, what are we teaching? Worship God and God alone. It's that simple.
Yeah, the kingdom of God looks so different than what we think it is. Yeah. So, I think if we could just, here's our blueprint for what it should look like, it wouldn't be anything.
Yeah.
You know?
If he showed up and the only way we knew it is because we're zapped out of here, what's wrong with us?
Yeah.
You know? Jesus showed up, no one knew who he was, or very few, until it was revealed. I mean, come on. Jesus said, "How long do I have to be with you before you know that I'm here?" I feel the same thing about the kingdom of God. Instead of waiting, why should we wait? Why don't we say the kingdom of God is within us? God is Lord over all. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. God's doing what he wills to do because he's Lord over all. So what God wants done today is being done. And what I need to know is that is the case. Yeah. And that I'm walking in favor with God because of who he is in me. Of him, through him, to him are all things. He's Lord. He's God. Hear, O nations of the earth, the Lord our God, he is one. He is God Almighty, ever present with us. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Steve, I am an Emmanuelist. God is with us.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what, though, to bring that full circle back to talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and being in the fire, it's like, what was the point of that in a broader sense? It was certainly a point for them, but it was also a point for the king, you know? And it's not like, I think a lot of times too, regardless of timing of getting out of here or whatever, it's like, we want God, or we want us to go just lop the heads off or get rid of every evil king. And God's like, no, I'm going to do this kind of stuff. And there's kind of a movement today in certain churches. And I think the idea behind it is right, but I'm not sure about where that actually goes out of. And it's this idea that, you know, Christians are meant to, I don't even know what it's called. It's something to do like the seven mountains or something like that. Christians are supposed to like take their place on the top of this mountain and this mountain and this mountain. And then that's how the kingdom is manifest, when we control all these areas. And what's always rubbed me wrong about that is that at one point I wasn't a Christian. At one point you weren't a Christian. So that's at right. One point, who's ever on top of that mountain right now in this industry, in Hollywood and in news and finance and that, they're not Christian. So what if instead of God replacing everybody with Christians, the Christians that he does have, we are the salt and the light and in the fire that's causing the people that he has put there to them now become the believers.
What about,
because he's given them gifts too.
Let's Nebuchadnezzar it here.
Okay? Yeah.
What happened? He throws these men in the fire. Okay. This isn't affecting him in the sense of he's being thrown in the fire. He's throwing them in the fire, and they're saved by the hand of God. And he knows it. What does he say? He says, "You serve the true and the living God. And anyone who speaks against this God, you know, off with their heads."
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a king with a kingdom of people around him. Watching. I mean, he is on display. His authority is on display. His furnace is the highlight, if you'll pardon the pun, of the whole experience. And his enemies are thrown in the furnace that are trying to discredit his authority by saying, we don't have to do what you say if what you say is against what God says.
Yep.
Here's this massive idol worth a ton of money that he set up. Okay, there's a lot riding on the king's shoulder. You know, his whole kingdom, his whole providence, you know, his credibility, his authority is on the line here. And we think that about California. But what did God do through three men that just worshiped God? He didn't attack the king or the people. They didn't run. They said, let's go. Our God will deliver. Come on, boys.
Yep.
Let's hop in the furnace. So what did God do? He changed the kingdom by changing the heart of the king through three men that just said, we're just going to worship God and God alone. So why don't we worship God and God alone? Instead of the church trying to be more like the world, to change the world, be more like God.
Yeah.
To change the world. Let's demonstrate who Christ in us is. Let's not mimic what the world is doing that we're complaining about, they're doing, and just do it a little differently. Let's do it all different.
Yeah.
Let's worship God. Let's not try to get out of a situation, try to get rid of the evil. I love to see God take evil. What you boys meant, Joseph said, is evil. God meant for good. And look what he's done. He's not only delivered me into the position of being Pharaoh's son and authority and power, but he's delivering you too. How incredible if we could say, we don't need you dead.
No.
We need you changed.
Yeah.
And if we represent the light of God that is greater than the God you serve or what you think is a God, which is the God of the world, then maybe you'll bow your knee too. If Nebuchadnezzar, if his entire career, if you will, his entire kingship was online or on the line, and the statue, I mean, everything he just built was discredited because three men stood and just believed God. His reputation kind of went down the drain, and he wasn't afraid to make it known. This idol, it's not God. I am not God. They serve the true and living God. Don't we serve that same God today?
Yeah.
In a new covenant filled with the Spirit, living in faith. Can't we believe God would do that to California and the rest of the cities and nations around the earth? That's what God wants us to believe. That's what they believed. Let's edit the story. Yeah. Like the centurion, you don't have to go to my house. Speak the word only. Let's be that people. That's a witness for who Christ is in us, and that will change the world.
Wow. I don't know that we can expand. I mean, we could expand on it forever, I guess. But I mean, that's a great place to end this. Yeah. Is at the end of the day, wherever you fall, the most important place to be and the most important thing to be is in Emmanuel's, because God is with us.
That's who we are. God is with us. Steve, who are we? We are
Emmanuel's.
God bless. Till next time.